Jamie.
Sometimes we're a little lazy.
The Brett and Jamie Show.
No, the Brett and Jamie Show.
Kooky and crazy and crazy and crazy and crazy.
We're kooky.
We're crazy.
Sometimes we're a little lazy.
The Brett and Jamie Show. No,
the Brett and Jamie Show.
And it's time for the Brett and Jamie Show. I love those little jingles. So I know you do.
I can't stop myself. I'm like, okay.
I would have put all kinds of effort into the making the little jingle at the beginning, and you're like, let's just get this done. I'm like, no. So we fight over the jingles every single day.
Well, and every I think a good portion of my life is spent humoring you.
Well, and I agree with that, and I appreciate that, and that's one of the reasons that I'm so darn crazy about you to begin with.
Aww.
Is the fact that you humor me in so many ways.
I really do.
He's crazy. It's you okay. Like,
you have these little things that you do, and I just play along.
Oh, really? Really? Yeah. What little things are you referring to precisely, exactly?
You will start a song, and then I have to sing along.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, I know. And then it gets stuck in my head, which is really kind of annoying, but, you know, it's what you do. So you start a song, and then I have to sing along. Or you will say something like a weird kind of, I don't know, thing, and then I have to come back with something. It's just a thing that we do. You have to be around us a lot to understand.
That made no sense.
It didn't. It really didn't. But you know what else is funny? Is even if you're around us a lot, you don't get to see this part of us. No. You don't get to see the Brett and Jamie Show side of us.
Nobody gets to see the randomness of relationships. I mean, every relationship has their own special little things, you know?
Right.
Things that they do when they're around each other that nobody else in the world would ever guess that they were like
mm-hmm,
that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, really? You guys sing little songs to each other all the time?
Constantly? All the time. Yep.
Really? Last night we watched a movie, and during the closing credits, there was a little kind of a cappella song that was on that we didn't know.
No.
And yet we both started kind of singing along and singing different harmonies to it, and it was a lot of fun, and the song lasted probably 3.5 minutes, like a normal song would last, and we sang along the whole time,
but we had fun.
And by the time it was over, I was thinking, boy, I wish that song wasn't done yet. That was the best part of the whole movie, was singing along to that stupid little song at the end.
Well, and that's the funny thing, is that's what I mean. You will do something like that, and then I just automatically jump in because I know that that's what you want me to do.
You think that was me? I think that you started that. I think you started singing along with the actual song, and then
I don't know.
I started putting in little...
Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the crazy one, and you just play along with me. Oh, my goodness.
Wouldn't it be crazy if it turned out that you were the crazy one? Wow.
But what is crazy?
And the whole time we thought it was me.
Well, that's just what we tell people.
Yeah, exactly.
That's because you're an introvert, and, you know, I can blame it on you.
Yes.
So,
because I'd be like,
it's easier.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was me all the time. It was all me. The one thing that I really love about life is the fact that you learn stuff all the time. Like, I just learned this morning that little U-shaped pipe that is underneath our sinks, mm-hmm. you know that's
it's a trap.
It's a trap, but
yes.
it's not for trapping things that go down the drain. It's a trap for it's filled with water. It's always got water in it.
What?
And that's what keeps the gases from coming back into the house.
Oh, yuck.
From the drain. That's because our bathroom smells bad, so I was looking up ways
like
to clean the pipes.
Something in the drain that's gross.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But that little U-shaped pipe serves a purpose. The purpose is to keep the gases from coming back into your house and making your house smell like sewage all the time.
Do we have a leak in our pipe?
No, I don't think that there's a leak in the pipe. I think that we've got stuff that's probably clogged in there, and it's growing some stuff. And,
well, that's really gross. I think that's worse than knowing how peanuts grow.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, it's totally gross.
See, when you said that, I totally freaked out. I was like, have you seen how peanuts grow? Don't look at the pictures. You can't get that out of your head.
And lately, I have to tell everybody about that. I'm
really?
Like, oh, yeah.
Has that become a story now?
Oh, yes.
No, because I was freaked
That's
out.
That's great. I know.
I thought that
you
they grew
totally
on bushes.
Freaked out. I know. You had this big picture of
Jimmy
straw
Carter.
Hats. And
Jimmy Carter with the straw hat out there, and he's on his little peanut bushes because he's a peanut farmer, and he's like, doo-doo-doo-doo-doo, and he's picking the peanuts off the bushes and throwing them in his little basket. No, you pull the whole thing out of the ground, and it's like this little city that was growing under the ground, or brains, or
well,
intestines.
Well, when you put it like that, it's kind of gross.
Something gross. Like if you like, if you had like
no, do not even do it. Oh my gosh. Oh, I saw where you were going with that, and oh, now that picture will never leave my brain. I was going to turn it into a, I know, a human something body gross. Thing. Stop it.
Yeah. Anytime that you could associate something gross with skin.
Oh, then, that's so gross. Then you will gross me out. You will really freak me out, and that will be in my head forever, like, the rest of my life.
I'll never eat another peanut.
Ah, oh, gross. Thanks so much.
See?
Now I won't be talking about peanuts anymore.
No, thank you.
You just ruined that for me.
No, thank you.
You totally ruined it.
Because I
was
okay.
That was my one fun thing, and you ruined it.
Well, I had to turn it around. It's like, you didn't gross me out, and then I go one step further. It's like, oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite things with the boys.
Totally kind
of
grossed me out.
It's one of my favorite things with the boys.
Oh, gosh, I know. You, like, look for ways to gross them out at dinner.
Boys are gross.
Our boys are not really gross.
Sometimes they're gross.
Not really.
But I can be grosser. And sometimes they're like, you didn't gross me out, and then I go one step further, and they're like...
Seriously? Yeah, did you have to go there?
That was really gross.
I know.
That's so, now I can't finish my food. Oh, we're going to have dessert tonight. Okay.
That's not true. That is so not true. Once you gross them out, they're done. It's over.
Yeah.
Because they're not really gross kids.
Well.
For boys, they're really not.
They're like, actually.
I found a little tiny baby lizard in our house. Not too
and you were
ago.
Not freaked out by that.
No, and I just picked him up and I put him in a little cup
and you
so
brought
that
him
I could
show him to me.
To everybody, and I thought he was so cute and I loved him.
He's bigger than a spider. Why do you freak out about spiders?
He's a lizard. He's not a spider.
But I think lizards are kind of gross. I don't want
They're
lizards
not.
In my house.
Well, he was a baby, and I don't know how he got in, but he
I've
was
seen him
so
in the backyard.
Little tiny, and
we
I
have
like him.
Lizards all over the place.
I know, and I
like
him.
The birds watching for him. You know,
I like him.
The birds are hunting the lizards. Go, little lizard, go! But not in the house.
Yeah,
that
I don't
didn't
know
freak
came
you
from.
Out at all.
Totally didn't freak me out. I thought it was awesome, but the boys were kind of grossed out by him, and
I'm
you
little,
were grossed
I'm
out
a
by him.
Grossed out by
I was
him
like,
too.
Woohoo! Look at this little tiny lizard, and everybody's like, oh gosh, get that out of here.
And a spider, I have no problem with a spider.
Yeah, even, I do.
We get some that are pretty decent
I
size.
Oh, they're so gross.
And you know, every once in a while, we get one of those that's the size of the palm of your hand, and all of a sudden you're yelling at me because there's a spider in the house, and then I come out and I'm like, okay, whatever, and I kill it. And you
yeah,
know,
they freak me out. I don't like spiders.
They really do freak you out, but the lizard did not freak you out at all.
No, I was really excited
the
about
lizard,
the lizard.
The lizard is just as likely to bite
to
you as a spider
him.
Is.
Yeah, but a lizard little... bite versus a spider bite, I would take a lizard bite.
Well, they're not poisonous, probably.
Right.
But a lot of spiders are not poisonous.
That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. They're little tiny, and oh, I don't like them. They creep me out. Okay, can we stop talking about spiders now?
Well, let's talk about
I'm done.
Let's talk about the boys then.
Okay.
Since we were talking about them and
how they're not gross.
How they're really not gross.
But they stink.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. They're teenagers, and teenagers, I didn't realize teenagers were so stinky.
Yeah, it's like those.
Oh my gosh.
You can tell when there's a growth spurt coming.
Boy, teenagers are so
stinky. They get hungry and
stinky.
Hungry and stinky, and there's a growth spurt coming.
Mm-hmm.
But the middle one, well, they all do this. And I bet I did the same thing when I was a kid. They're always looking for, you know, the
loopholes.
In mm-hmm. anything that you say, they're looking for the loophole.
Okay.
Because the middle one has had a problem lately with hanging up his clothes.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, you know, we ask you to do just a few things around the house. Keep things picked up, keep things put away, go to school, get good grades. You know, those are your jobs.
Right.
And one of his jobs is to hang up his clothes. And
it's all their job.
Yeah, all of them. And the other day, he had just shoved all of his shirts into one of his dresser drawers. I mean, just they were like all in a little ball, and I pulled them all out. And
he
all,
knows they don't go in his dresser. He knows they're supposed to hang up in his closet.
Yeah, he's been hanging them up for 10 years now.
Right?
Something like
that. He's like, you know, I'm just not going to hang up my shirts anymore.
So he got in trouble for that, and he had to go hang up his shirts, but there was no repercussions.
Right.
And so the other day, I'm in his closet getting the laundry or something, and I see he's got a bunch of shirts in there that he didn't bother to hang up when we told him to hang up his shirts, and he just had them stuffed in the corner of the closet. So I pulled them all out and I put them on his bed, and you told him to hang up his, and again, there was no repercussions, although this time I told him that there would be repercussions in the future if he kept doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But he was looking for the loophole because
he hung all his shirts.
He hung up all the shirts, and
okay.
I went in the closet and there had been a hoodie there with the shirts, and he threw that back in the corner of the closet because we didn't say hoodies.
We said, it's hang not up a your shirt. Shirts. It is not a shirt. So that does would, not constitute as a shirt.
So
it
is in his not, mind, he probably spent, I don't know, 30, 45 seconds working on the solution even. To that. He's like, okay, I've got the hoodie here. And they said to hang
and
up the shirt.
And in the time that he could have, in the time he worked it out in his brain, he could have hung up the hoodie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's like,
that our oldest so, is that way too, though.
I know.
Oh my gosh. So the other day, the same day that our middle one didn't hang up his shirts, our oldest one didn't hang up his shirts either. They mm-hmm. were in a pile on the bottom of his closet with all of his hoodies.
Right.
And so you came up with the brilliant idea to go hide the Xbox controller and in the pile of shirts and the headset mm-hmm. in his bed, because he didn't make his bed that day either.
I know. And he's playing the game, and he knows that the rule is that your room's got to be clean before you're playing the game.
Right.
So I saw that he was playing the game, and I was like, the controller is on the floor, and he wasn't there at the moment, and the headphones are on the floor. So I put the one in the bed, because the bed hadn't been made, and I put the other thing under the pile of clothes, and then he said, hey, where'd the headphones and the controller go? And you're like, well, if you clean your room, you'll probably find them.
So he went in there, and he's hanging stuff up, and he yells at me. He's like, Mom. So I went to see what he was talking about, and he said, that was pretty brilliant. Pretty brilliant. I said, you got to give Brett credit for that, because that was not me. But so we were talking about hanging up his stuff, and I said, why didn't you just hang up your stuff? And he said, because I'm going to wear it tomorrow. I said, all of it? You're going to wear all of that clothes tomorrow?
I'm planning it a cold day. It's going to be cold tomorrow. I need 16 shirts.
He's like, oh, well, no. I said, well, then just hang up your shirts. Okay, I get it.
But I'm sure, I'm sure that I was the same. Yeah. I'm sure that I was the same.
Well, and we always go through, every single one of us has gone through those days where we're like, I just don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do it. So I'm just going to, whatever. I'm going to set it right here because it'll be fine. But then you do that and you start to do that every day, and pretty soon it becomes a huge mess.
Yeah, well, and plus, if you actually take care of it, then it doesn't become such a hassle later.
Well,
that's why cleaning our house is super easy, because we do the cleaning stuff, but everything is already picked up. You don't have to spend an hour picking things up before you start cleaning.
Right. That's true. That is so true.
And plus, we have the habit of making our bed. When we get out of bed, we make the bed. And, mm-hmm. and the boys do that, too. They're really good about that, for the most part. And now, it would be very difficult. It would probably require fire alarms going off for me to get out of bed and not make the bed.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Because I'd even if we were in a hurry, I'd be like, hang on, got to make the bed quick. Because it takes 30 seconds to make the bed. Yep. So just hang on.
Well, it really does. And if there's two of us, it's even quicker.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we're done.
Unless you're pulling on the blankets and pulling them off the bed. And I'm like,
that's
no,
you.
Too much on your side. That's no, my you. Side. I need more on this side over here. Come on.
You're so OCD about some things. It's kind of funny.
Kind of walk
but
around and make sure
it's so true, though, because I like it being that way, too. I like coming in and going, oh, the bed is made. And everything looks so nice and clean and pretty. And it's just nice. And the funny thing is that you see all these memes going around all the time on Facebook or text message or whatever. And they talk about, you know, my house isn't clean, but it's lived in. And I think, yeah, that's true. But we live in our house, too.
We had a little metal plaque when I was a kid up on the wall that said, come in, sit down, relax, converse. Our house doesn't always look like this. Sometimes it's even worse.
Mm-hmm.
But and our I don't remember if our house was clean or not. I imagine it was fairly clean because I was required to keep my room clean and, mm-hmm. and all that sort of thing. So I imagine the house was clean. But that's just one of those little sayings that people have, you know.
I guess.
Come in, sit down, relax, converse. Our house doesn't always look like this. Sometimes it's even worse, but sometimes it's good too. I personally think that our house is kind of a realtor's dream. You could walk into our house anytime and show it to people and be like, yeah, it's nice.
It always looks like this. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And that's the funny thing. It's like people will come over and they'll be like, oh my gosh, how do you...
You
must have just
it?
Cleaned. Yeah. No, we didn't. In fact, we haven't cleaned since last week. And they're going, what?
A week?
Yeah,
and
right.
And it looks like you could show it on a realtor showing right now.
And you have kids.
One of my favorite things to say is anytime we're out driving and we have to turn around and we turn into somebody's driveway to turn around, I'll always be like, Clean up the house. Company's here. I almost forgot what it was.
I know. I was like,
I saw you looking at me like, wait a minute. What do you, how does that even go? But we both know it.
Yeah, I know.
We always
and
it, say
and it. And it wasn't in my head.
Clean up the house. Company's coming. Company's here. Turn around in the driveway.
I know.
Yeah.
Would you consider yourself an old soul?
An old soul?
Yes.
Well, I think that it fits my body, so yeah.
I'm talking about, like, do you feel like a young person or do you feel like an old person?
No, I feel like a young person. I think that I have a young soul. I think that you have an old soul because
I do have an old soul.
You really relate to older people too.
I do. I really do. And I was actually talking to two of my girlfriends the other day. We're playing Pokemon Go, of all things, which is not an old person thing to do, but we're playing and we're talking about people that we know and people that we interact with. And I said, I have always related better to older people, which is hilarious because I'm hanging out with these two younger people.
Yeah.
Well, when you're on a college campus filled with young people, that's who you hang out with, right? Because that's who there is. And they said, I'm an old soul. You know, both of them said this at the same time, that they've always related better to their teachers and to people who are older than they are, not their peers. And I thought, okay, well, that's crazy because that's how I am. I am totally an old soul and I always related better to older people. So then I thought, well, why do I hang out with these people? Well, is it because they're an old soul too? Is it because we relate on that level?
Maybe. That is kind of an interesting question because I know that when you go to a class, you're most likely to make your first friend as the teacher, not as one of your peers.
Right.
So that definitely, you know, and like for me, it's a good thing for me that you're an old soul because I just happen to be one just naturally. So we fit together that way. And
yes,
that works.
But if you're a young soul, then why do we work well together?
Because my reality is that I'm an old soul, but the way that I feel inside is a young soul. When I used to smoke, I would go into stores and I would buy a pack of cigarettes and I'd be like, ha, 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 they didn't even card me. And I'd be like, oh yeah, I was 35. I still feel like that when I buy alcohol. I'm like I'm getting away with something. Like,
yeah, but they card you now. They card you everywhere you go now for alcohol.
And my favorite thing to say now is, my ID is right here on my chin. All the gray
your
hair.
Your gray beard.
Yeah, I don't think that
you're a gray beard.
I don't think that anybody under 21 has a whole chin full of gray hair. At least not too many. So.
Well, my friend actually commented the other day, the same day that we were talking about old souls. And she said, can I ask you a personal question? And I went, oh, gosh,
oh,
no.
Oh,
I hate
no.
the personal
She's
question.
She's
going to
ask
question.
About my vagina.
Oh, gosh. Shut up. And she says, is Brett much older than you?
What?
Yes. And I said, what? And she said, well, because they've met you before, her and her fiance, but we went to their housewarming party recently.
Yeah.
And she said, when I first met him, I didn't think that he was much older than you. But now when we were at the party, he seems a little bit older than you.
Yeah.
And I laughed and she said, or I told her, it must be the beard. Because I don't think you had a beard the first time you met them.
Well, I probably did, but I did the summer of hair and I let the beard grow out. So the beard is a lot longer now than it used to be.
And it's very gray.
And it's very gray.
Yes.
The mustache is not gray.
Yes, it is.
Well,
it's getting really gray.
But it's got still dark hair. And the beard itself is pretty much gray.
It is.
I mean, there's not really any other color that you can throw in there.
And it makes you look distinguished, but it makes you look older.
The haircutting girl said that it made me look wise.
Oh, yeah?
And I said, oh, you got a better tip out of that, didn't you? You're shooting for your tip.
Yeah. Wise in what way?
Yeah, I don't know. Wise in that I'll fall for that and give you a bigger tip, probably.
Uh-huh. Yep.
Because we were talking about my beard. And then I was talking to a guy the other day, and he hadn't met you, and mm-hmm. I was talking about our kids, and he said something about women in their mid-40s. And I said, yeah, my wife is actually considerably younger than that. I could tell that
he's never met me.
He was like doing some kind of math in his head. And then he stopped and he just said, good for you. And I'm like, yeah, you betcha good for me.
That's hilarious. And it's funny because when we're together, age is not a thing at all. And we just click and it's no big deal.
But will it be something later?
I don't think so.
You know, as I get more curmudgeonly, as I get more codgerly, as I get, you know, less able to function physically and mentally.
No.
Because you'll still be young and I'll be like an old guy.
You're not that old. And because of the old soul in me, I will be just as curmudgeonly. I will give it right back to you.
Sometimes you get a little curmudgeonly.
I do.
Every once in a while you do.
I do. And that's why we're so great together. We sync like that. It's good.
Although I feel that I'm getting the older thing going now because I watched a lot of news. Oh, this morning I was going to check out the news and see what was going on in the world. Mm-hmm. And then I went, oh wait, there was a football game last night. The NFL season started. I can't because I haven't watched the game yet because I DVR'd it.
I know.
And I was like, oh no, don't touch anything. Not Facebook, not anything. And it
can no actually, Huffington Post, no when, MSNBC, yeah, no nothing.
Yeah, no, don't look at anything because you're gonna ruin it for yourself.
Oh, and it was the Broncos and the Panthers.
I know, so you know that's all over
Facebook.
It was
a good matchup. Yep.
If I would have gone to Facebook, I would have seen it immediately.
Oh, yes, especially if you're friends with your mom or any of my family.
Or my friends. The Broncos are huge.
Yeah?
Huge, I tell you. They're huge. So, yeah, I had to stay away from that. So if anything has gone on in the world this morning, and here we are talking about being old and having old souls, rather than talking about the big thing that's going on in the world, then it's because I didn't look at anything today.
Well, if I'm an old soul, why do I not like the news? Why do I not like to watch that stuff?
I don't know, because it depresses you.
It totally depresses me. Oh my gosh.
I think local news is almost more depressing to you than national news.
It is, because it's more real. Mm-hmm. When it's closer to home, it's more real.
Well, and it's more graphic, too. It's
gosh, I know.
Somebody got robbed and raped and murdered, and mm-hmm. somebody is dead on the highway, and you know, and they're going to cover all that, and they're going to talk about all that, and it's... I don't even know if that really, all of that necessarily, some of it qualifies as news, but some of it is just sensationalism because, you know, it's tragic and horrible when somebody dies on the highway, but you don't need to show it to us.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's part of the problem. That makes me kind of want to be a shut-in. Totally. Like a hermit.
Yeah.
I don't want to leave my house. I want to keep the boys inside and locked inside and stay here safe from the world. And then you hear about things that happen to people in their homes.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, nowhere is safe.
Well, you got to get a gun. That's
no. No, you don't.
What you need is a gun.
That freaks me out. That takes me back to the story we talked about just not too long ago about the guy in the store with the gun. And I'm like, I don't know that you're a good guy. And it's freaking me out that you're carrying a gun.
Somebody that's carrying a gun is not a good guy to me.
And then I know I'm a good guy, but I know I should probably not have a gun because I would shoot all the people with the guns because I would think they were bad guys.
I know.
And I was a good guy, but how would they know I was a good guy?
I would come around the corner on the aisle at the store and be like with my gun drawn because I knew that guy is right around the corner. And I'd come around the corner with my gun out and I'd be like, prove you're a good guy right now.
Right.
You've got 3 seconds to prove you're a good guy.
But then you're the bad guy.
I'm the bad... Nuh-uh.
You are the bad guy.
Because I've got my card that says I'm a good guy.
Really?
I got my NRA good guy card.
You do not. And being NRA affiliated does not make you a good guy.
What?
It doesn't.
I think it does. That's why anytime I see an NRA sticker, in solidarity, I shoot it.
Yeah. You're like, I support you.
I'm with you, brother. Yeah. That's why anytime that I see a Trump sticker, fortunately not seeing a lot of Trump stickers, which is a good thing.
Oh, I saw one the other day.
But every
and
time
I laugh.
Every time I see a Trump sticker, I drive by him and I give him a little Heil Hitler salute.
No.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm with you, brother.
No.
White power.
You do not.
Because it's fun.
And you married to your Hispanic wife and are like doing the Heil Hitler.
And they're like, huh, I wonder if he's with me or mocking me.
I actually wanted to point and laugh at the guy driving next to me the other day because he had a Trump sticker.
Just give him a Heil Hitler.
No.
Give him a little hee.
As a Hispanic person?
Yeah,
no,
absolutely.
I think not. I think I'm good.
Roll the window down on the side that's them.
Closest to them?
Yeah. And be like, white power! It's even funnier with you because you're Hispanic. Oh, although a lot of people think you're white. But
they do. And it kind of drives me crazy now. When I was little, I had this really big... annoyance at not being white, because when you're little, kids are mean. And
really, were kids mean to you because you were Hispanic?
Kids were so mean.
But you're from a part of the country where there's a lot of brown people. Not just Hispanics, but Native Americans.
In the town that I grew up in, it wasn't brown people.
Really?
It wasn't Hispanic people. It wasn't Native American people. It was a lot of white people. And so when you go to school, you're the odd person out and you really are the minority.
Did people say things?
Oh, yeah.
Like what?
It was just weird and I didn't like it. And I remember crying and I think I probably told my mom that I wanted to be a white girl.
But you're very light skinned. How would people even know
that? Not when I was young.
Really?
When I was young, I was a lot darker.
I've seen pictures of you. I never thought, wow, she's a little brown girl.
What?
look at the cute little brown girl.
Well, and now people think I'm white and I'm like, what?
No wonder she's full of shit. Oh! Oh, yeah. Oh, she's so shocked now. Look at the little brown girl with her shocked face. Heil Hitler. Sorry. Okay, I'm done with that. Alrighty. What did people say? What made you...
About what?
When you were a kid.
I don't know. And it doesn't matter now.
It never occurred to me that... Because I grew up in an area where there were a lot of Native Americans. I was probably in fifth...
Yes, but you were a white kid.
I was probably in fifth grade before I saw my first black person and in real life. Mm-hmm. And they were... We got a black teacher in my town of Pierce, South Dakota, and everybody was talking about it. Like, there's black people here.
You know, yeah.
But nobody...
And you're the white guy.
Nobody really said anything racist about it.
No, and probably it doesn't they did, even and have I just to... It doesn't even necessarily have to be racist. It's just being different, you know? And people don't like things that are different. So... They alienate you, and it just makes it harder. You don't have friends, and I don't know. It's just different.
Is it my white privilege that when I go to work, generally the people that I work with are not white? I'm one of the very... I'm definitely in the minority at work.
Right.
And
but we live in a place now.
But I don't
that
feel
is a lot
uncomfortable.
A lot more diverse.
Although there's one particular black guy at work that anytime that I say something that is confused or wrong or old person or curmudgeonly or anything, he will, like, if I say something about one of the kids, he'll be like, "Well, they all look the same, don't they?" Like one of the little black kids. And
he's pulling the race card on you.
That's become kind of our little thing, because the other day he said something about one of the white kids, and he got the kid's name wrong, and I said, "Well, we all look the same, don't we?"
and it's hard. It's hard. I think that in this world there's so much racial tension going on, because it makes it hard to know what to say to anybody.
It does.
And I think that we're making it more than it needs to be, you know, the whole PC thing being PC. But at the same time, I think that the direction that people are going with the "I don't want to be PC anymore" is the wrong direction. They're saying it, I think, more to be hateful
exactly.
than they are to be non-PC.
Yeah, that's the whole thing right there. If it's being upset about being PC, I understand that, because well-intentioned people that really are not necessarily racist have a tendency to feel uncomfortable because they don't want to say something that's going to offend somebody, and they honestly don't want to offend somebody.
Right.
And that's where the PC thing goes too far, because if you're good intentioned and you're not trying to offend somebody and you're just saying something, then you shouldn't have to feel bad about that. But if you're being hateful, if what you're saying is based in hate, then you can't get around that by saying, "Oh, stop being so PC."
Right.
Because you don't get to be hateful just because...
Rude and just mean.
Because you have a right to be that way? No, you don't. You don't have a right to be hateful.
Right.
You have a... See, the First Amendment confuses people.
Well...
It's funny that they're not confused by the Second Amendment ever in any way, even though they never look beyond, you know, the second
the first,
half of the
yeah.
sentence.
Mm-hmm.
But...
I know. And... Oh, man.
And just like
I did it again.
The whole Colin Kaepernick thing. What?
I was right in the middle of a thought and I forgot it.
Oh, that happens. That's
all the time.
That's the old souls like us.
I think I'm getting Alzheimer's.
Well, we watched a movie last night about a family that had the father had dementia, and it was mm-hmm. very sad.
It was very sad, and it got really good reviews. And I was like, why did this get good reviews? It's so sad.
I don't even remember what the movie was.
I don't either, actually.
We could talk about it and review it, and I'm like, well, you'd usually start with the title.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And The Savages.
Is that what it was called?
With The guy with three names. The guy that's no longer with
us. I can see him in my head. Does that count?
Seems like there's a Seymour in there somewhere.
Yes, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Yes. Woo! Who always liked to do things that were sort of outside of the box, mm-hmm. sort of real life things, sort of things with some sort of artisticness to them.
He looked old even when he was young.
Even when he was young, he looked old. And it's tragic that he killed himself.
It is.
He really did. He killed himself with drugs. And, you know, because he had high expectations, I think, of the world. And he himself and the world never met those expectations. So I think it's important, you know, to keep your expectations realistic.
I think that it's funny that you mention that. Because recently in counseling, I've been talking about that. About expectations of yourself and other people. Because I am one of those people that I expect a lot of myself. Mm-hmm. I, from a very young age, have this complex with I want to please other people. I want them to be happy with me. I want them to acknowledge me. I want them to, what's the word?
To admire you, to...
Yes, all of those things.
Right.
So I want these things from people. And instead, I am beating myself up when I don't reach those things, those goals in my head, because people don't know that that's what I'm looking for. So they can't give me what I want if they don't have any idea that that's what I'm trying to do, right? Mm-hmm. So when that doesn't happen, I beat myself up for it. And instead, I raise my expectations of myself. And I think that that's kind of the same thing that people like Philip Seymour Hoffman have done, where you just get this unrealistic expectation in your head of yourself, and then you expect other people to live up to that same expectation. And when they can't meet that expectation, you beat yourself up and you raise your expectations of yourself. And you are so into this cycle of negative behavior that you have a hard time getting out of it. It's like, well, what is good enough? What is enough for me? What is the goal? Because I have no idea, but I'm still reaching higher and higher and higher, and I can't ever get there.
Well, one of the things, that the nice thing about knowing you for as long as I've known you, is that now I understand when you are angry, generally you're not angry with... You know, someone...
The person that I'm directing my anger at?
Right. And I have to think back, okay, what happened that she took as a negative, internalized, got mad at herself, and is punishing herself now, and is making that a verbal thing?
Right.
You know, projecting it onto somebody else. And so I have to think, okay, what happened, and go back and find out what it is that you're punishing yourself for so that I can understand it, and hopefully we can deal with it before it becomes too big of an issue.
Well, and I think that the nice thing about you is that you really actually take time to analyze and think about what's going on and understand that it's not about you. It's about me and whatever's going on in my head. It might have been a trigger that had nothing to do with anybody even in the room, but somebody did something that reminded me of something and triggered those feelings and negativity in myself. And so then I start self-punishing behaviors, and that actually bleeds out into the world because I don't know how to deal with it because I don't know what happened.
So it's really not Trump's fault. Trump is just being angry about something that he's internalized since his childhood, really.
Maybe. He could just be psychotic.
There is that. You as know. Well. Yeah, I don't know exactly. It's one or the other. He's got some internal anger issues, perhaps. He's psychotic. One of those two. That could be us as well.
Sometimes we're a little lazy.
The Fat Jamie Show.
The Brett and Jamie Show.